The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Testify. What does the word mean? To testify. You speak the truth of what you've witnessed normally, correct? That which you have seen, you speak and you say, I have not only seen it, but I tell it the way it was. But also to testify means, even if you haven't seen it, you are a character witness at times. You can testify to the character of the person who you know to be true. We're called to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ, to speak. We haven't yet seen, but we speak to the character of Him who was revealed to us in the Scriptures. So as we move through our theme after Easter, we started with eternity, with a view on the things in the future. We have been brought into an allegiance with Christ our Savior to send us out, but not just to send us out to be nice or to be kind or to be good to one another, to actually testify, to speak to what the truth of the Scriptures for us in Christ Jesus. Today we had two scriptures, and I want to read two verses from those scriptures that our young men did so well at reading today. The first one, so that the next generation would know the law, and even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. So the 12 set out from village to village from Luke, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. The second one in particular, you know, growing up in Lutheran circles, I always had this understanding that the good news is that we preach Christ crucified and Christ risen again, correct? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And yet here in the book of Luke, it said, so the 12 sent out proclaiming the good news. What good news are they preaching? If Christ has not yet been crucified and not yet been risen, there must be something included in their message about the kingdom of God drawing near, coming close, that they were going to speak. And I think it has some to do with this message from the Old Testament that the generations will know not only the good news that the kingdom is coming, but the law also. I had a shady relationship with the understanding of rules when I was younger. My whole idea perhaps came from a board game. I don't know if anyone knows this game. It's called Operation. And how you play it is you're given like a metal tweezers. And in this man's body there are things that you're supposed to operate or surgically remove with these tweezers. But unfortunately, in those holes, they're lined with metal also. And if the tweezers touch the sides, it sends an electric shock, not through me, but into the board, and the man's nose lights up, and then it goes, eh. So you get this feeling that as you're reaching nervously in to help this man, the tweezer hits the sides, eh. And you grow to fear even doing probably that which you should be doing. Rolly didn't know this game until the first service, so I said, I'm going to get this for him for his birthday. If you come into the office on some Thursdays or something, you'll probably hear that. We're playing Operation. I had that same understanding with law, perhaps, as I was growing up. I grew to fear the law. That I knew the rules, I knew the Ten Commandments, I went to confirmation, and we had to memorize everything. And any time that I'd get close to perhaps breaking the rule or the law, I had this fear that I was going to be shocked or that somehow God was going to punish me immediately. So I feared the law. As I got into high school, I learned to hate the law. I learned to hate the rules. I learned to hate the boundaries. I didn't want any limitations on my life whatsoever. because I didn't see the point. I was old enough to know better. When I was in university, I learned to ignore the law. Not as in I was arrested for any means, but to ignore the rules because I wanted to get as far away from perhaps those things that restricted me when I was younger. I was away from my parents, and then I thought I was grown up. And then I became a father. And now I preach the law. If you don't do this, this will happen. The law is a difficult thing. It's a difficult journey for all sorts of people, for all of us. Paul talks about it in Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. This is completely and almost utterly from how we understand the law in Lutheran circles, that the law is what convicts us. And it drives us to Christ, but it is also the thing that which keeps us from bragging about ourselves or saying that I can somehow follow the law well enough that I can earn my way into God's good graces. But this isn't the good news, it seems, that the disciples were preaching as they went to the villages. So I asked myself three questions this week. Is this the good news that they preached? What is the testimony of the disciples? What are they testifying to? And the last one, how do we show both law and gospel? The new term for grace is this hyper grace, where it doesn't matter what you do, God's already forgiven you in advance. It's almost like absolution before you've done the thing you're planning to do. Luther actually tells us to speak against this. He says the word of God is not rightly divided when gospel is preached first and then the law. Sanctification first and then justification. Faith first, then repentance. Good works first and then grace. Luther says we must preach the law first so that people can encounter how grace can move in their lives. And then I talked to someone this week. And he said this: sometimes I'm not a fan of Luther's understanding of law and then gospel. I think we only encounter the law in all its wholeness through the lenses of the gospel by an anonymous Tabor lecturer who is a member of this congregation. I agree with this person greatly. I think we don't experience the law in its fullness until we can see the grace of God first. And then I tried to figure out this week, what's the missing link? What am I missing? How do we see this right? What is the missing link? Law doesn't bring salvation. It brings safety in relationships and safety in character. The law pushes us towards the grace of Christ, but there's something beforehand. And the only way that I can explain it perhaps would be something like this. When I was young, my parents on their farm had a second old garage. It was rickety. It was almost falling down, I would guess. But I had this understanding, or I thought, that inside the garage were pirates. And I wanted to put myself in piracy. So I wanted to play with the pirates. So what happened was my mother, of course, she said to me, do not in any way, shape, or form go into the old garage. Something bad will happen to you if you go into the old garage. Well, what does that do for an 8-year-old boy? I already planned in my mind the next day I'm going to the old garage. So the next day my mother's standing in the window in the kitchen. She's doing dishes or something. And, of course, my first opportunity to escape, I can. So I go out the front door, I descend the steps, and I just slide along the new garage, slowly as I can, hoping she doesn't notice. And then I approach the old garage. And it's got this aura around it, perhaps an aura of dust. and rust and decay and piracy. And my mom can't know everything, of course, and she's probably just saying it because she doesn't want me to have fun. That's what rules are for, right? So I go to the garage, I go to the side of the garage, and I reach out my hand and touch it. Nothing happened, of course. My mother does not know anything, but just to be sure, I kicked it. And it didn't come down. So I go to the front of the garage. The door is up. It's an old rickety door that's got, it's got segments in it, of wooden segments. And I took one step in and one step out, another step in. Nothing happened. So I took two steps in, three steps. I was all the way into the old garage that was used only for maybe a few chickens and a stray cat. And pirates. So then I thought to myself, well, of course, the only logical next step is to find out where the pirates are. So I thought that the pirates are actually on top of the garage door. So I'll just climb up the side of the old garage and then climb on top, which I did, and I was safe. And in my mind, this is how I recollected, I'm sure none of this is actually true anymore. In my mind, I would guess that my brain said, the pirates are here. So I walked the plank out on top of the door. And it was fine as long as I stayed in the spots between the sections. But I took one step out into the section and went through. Bam! About 3 meters to the floor in a screaming heap. I'm scraped, I'm scratched, I'm bleeding, and I'm screaming. And then I remind myself, I shouldn't be screaming. And then I hear it, the front door open. My mother's coming. What's my first reaction? Run. So I start limping and running as fast as I can. I'm scratched and bleeding, and my mom's fast. She caught me before I got to the cornfield. She grabbed me. What's the first thing she says to me? You bad child. No, of course not. She doesn't say, how dare you disobey me? Of course not. The first thing she says is, are you okay? The second thing she says is, why did you do that? The third thing she says is, I love you. Let's go take care of you. Is this not the good news in practice? My mother loved me enough to create the rules to keep me safe. And when I didn't obey those rules, when I fell in a screaming heap, the grace of my mother at that time was able to say, I love you. Let's take care of you. Is that not the good news that Christ says in these verses in Romans 5? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, God loved us beforehand. He gave us the rules, the law, to keep us safe in our relationships between him and us and each other. And in those relationships and staying safe, our character is built so that we can testify to that thing that God loves us enough to give us the rules. And in the times that we make mistakes, it's not just a spiritual band-aid, this grace thing, but it is literally salvation in itself that comes through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. He loved us. We know that God loved us. And we can appropriately understand how law works in our lives now in these three ways. Love came first. Law was given to keep us safe in our relationships. And lastly, the Lord himself died so that we might live again. We hear God's love, we follow God's law, and we live in the Lord. And how does this affect us in our daily lives? When you go out to testify, to tell about God's great love in this world, don't leave the law out. If you leave the law out, people are lost. They don't know that they even need Jesus Christ. But you tell them about God's love first in Christ Jesus. The law is to keep us in relationship. And Christ's death and resurrection. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you used to be slaves to the law, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to righteousness. God's grace and peace to you this week as you follow God's law in perspective of God's love in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in your great love, you have given him to us and to the entire world so that we might live, truly live, freed from sin, but slaves to righteousness. Help us to follow the law so that we might have relationships that are safe with you and with others. And when we mess up, continue to shower us with your grace that we can move and testify to all that we know in you. All this we ask in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.